is necessary for them to have help in recognizing that those feelings are there and in learning how to deal with them. That is the role of psychotherapy. I have great admiration for the people who go through our program. They must overcome some not inconsiderable impediments before they can get better. One of these is the skepticism and sometimes the ridicule they encounter. Another is the constant admonition, usually from family members, to be careful. Don't lift that. Don't bend over. Be sure to put on your corset. For this reason, I encourage the full participation of close family members so that they will not undermine the therapeutic process. One of the biggest problems for patients is developing confidence that they can banish this physical disorder with a learning program. That kind of thing is completely outside of people's medical experience. It is my job to convince them that it can be done. I should emphasize that I don't consider someone to have been successfully treated unless he or she is free of significant pain and is able to engage in unrestricted physical activity without fear. As I said before, the fear of physical activity may be more disabling than the pain for someone with a chronic pain problem. Virtually everyone I have seen has been a prisoner of fear, of hurting himself, of bringing on an attack. And that works even better than the pain to keep the attention focused on the body instead of the emotions. It is our job to liberate them from this pervasive fear. One of the more difficult concepts to grasp is the fact that one does not have to eliminate tension from one's life. People ask, how can I change my personality? How do I stop generating anxiety and anger? If these were prerequisites for recovery, my cure rate would be zero. It is not changing one's emotions. It is recognizing that they exist and that the brain is trying to keep one from being aware of their existence through the mechanism of the pain syndrome. That is the key point in understanding why the knowledge is the effective cure. One thing that is abundantly clear about the cause and treatment of TMS is that it is a striking example of the mind-body connection. The history of medicine's awareness of this interaction is long and checkered. Hippocrates advised his asthmatic patients to be wary of anger, which suggests that 2,500 years ago, there was some appreciation of the impact of the emotions on illness. Why do contemporary physicians have trouble with mind-body concepts? I believe it is because they see themselves as engineers to the human body. According to them, health and illness can be expressed in physical and chemical terms, and the idea that a thought or an emotion could somehow have an effect on that physicochemistry is anathema. This is why my work has been so studiously ignored. I have demonstrated conclusively that a truly physical pathological process is the result of emotional phenomena and can be halted by a mental process. That is, first of all, rank heresy. Second, it is beyond the comprehension of most physicians. Nothing in their training prepared them for such an idea, and to them it smacks of voodoo. Paradoxically, thoughtful laymen are much more able to accept such an idea because they are not burdened with a medical education and all the philosophical biases that go along with it. Contemporary medicine is scientifically limited because it has closed itself off from further progress, being unwilling to venture out beyond the secure boundaries of its familiar technology. It ought to take a lesson from the field of theoretical physics, where old ideas are constantly being revised in the light of new knowledge. Dr. H.K. Beecher was one of the first serious students of pain in the United States. In 1946, he published an article in the Annals of Surgery titled Pain in Men Wounded in Battle. For years, it was widely quoted because of its most interesting observation. During World War II, Dr. Beecher questioned 215 seriously wounded soldiers at various locations in the European theater shortly after they had been wounded. He found that 75% of them had so little pain that they had no need for morphine. Reflecting that strong emotion can block pain, Dr. Beecher went on to speculate, quote, "In this connection, it is important to consider the position of the soldier. His wound suddenly releases him from an exceedingly dangerous environment, one filled with fatigue, discomfort, anxiety, fear, and real danger of death, and gives him a ticket to the safety of the hospital. His troubles are over, or he thinks they are." Unquote. This observation is reinforced by a report of the United States Surgeon General during World War II, noted in Martin Gilbert's book, The Second World War, A Complete History, that in order to avoid psychiatric breakdown, infantrymen had to be relieved of duty every so often. The report said, quote, "A wound or injury is regarded not as a misfortune, but a blessing." Unquote. Here is yet another way in which the mind can modify or eliminate pain. Good spirits, a joyful attitude, a positive emotional state clearly have the ability to block or prevent pain. Just how this works, one cannot know at this time. But we do know in part how the therapeutic process in TMS works. The knowledge of what the brain is about renders the process purposeless. The abnormal autonomic stimuli cease, and so does the pain. What we have yet to discover, and it is probably beyond our mental horizons to do so at this time, is how emotional phenomena can stimulate physiologic ones. That they do is unquestionable. But for the time being, we may have to be content with Benjamin Franklin's observation, "Nor is it of much importance to us to know the manner in which nature executes her laws. 'Tis enough to know the laws themselves."
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.